Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Now, in the last segment on How Credible is the Bible, we covered the main backbone prophecy in Daniel, the second chapter. But as you go through the book of Daniel, you'll find that Daniel 7, Daniel 8, Daniel 9, Daniel 10, and 11 and 12 takes us from there clear to the end time. Let's come to Daniel, the 12th chapter. And then we will see that this ties in with some prophecies that Jesus gave in Matthew 24. See, because look at prophecy as one big construct that are fulfilled in various stages to complete the whole of the fulfilling of the prophecies in the Bible. Now, here in Daniel 12, we find some very interesting things. Let's go back to Daniel 11 in verse 40 to show you how that runs all the way through the book of Daniel, from that time to the time of the end. Daniel 11 and verse 40, it says, "And at the time of the end, the king of the south shall push at him," that's the king of the north, "and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, with horsemen, with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and sweep through." Now, during the days of the Crusades, a lot of people thought, well, hey, this is being fulfilled right here, the book of Daniel. And the 1100s and 1200s and 1300s, ships were coming there, fighting and warring, going back and forth. But there have to be other parts of the prophecies that fit into it to give the complete picture. Because we're going to see one statement by Jesus is very important, which is this: when you see all of these things coming to pass, know that the end is near. Now, chapter 12. "And at that time of the end, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands for the children of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble." I want you to mark that, because we'll see that in Revelation 24. "Such as never was since there was a nation even till that time." Now, we're entering into that right now, aren't we? Yes, indeed. "And at that time, your people shall be delivered," that is Israel. So if you want to know about Israel, where are they today? Then you order this book. We'll send it to you no cost. America and Britain in prophecy, their biblical origin and their divine destiny. Why have America and Britain ruled the world for the last 500 years? Remember what we saw with Daniel telling Nebuchadnezzar that God raises up nations and sets them down? Because God put us here for a purpose. Now then, let's continue Daniel 12. "And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book." That's the book of life. So here is a very good example of the credibility of the Bible. Here is a statement that is not complete. Which book? Where is it? Well, you have to wait till you come to the New Testament. It's the book of life in heaven above. Let's continue here. "And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame, to everlasting contempt." Again, carrying clear out to the time of New Jerusalem. Now notice, "And they who are wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they shall turn many to righteousness, and shall shine as the stars of heaven forever and ever." And when you understand the holy days, which is another framework for God's plan for mankind, Sabbath and holy days, which proves that the whole Bible is credible. Little sidebar. How did Jesus say that we are to live? By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And this also includes the prophecies. Let's continue here. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. So that's when they will be understood more than at any other time. Now notice a perfect description of this end time age. Right here. Is the Bible true? Does one sentence in the Bible substantiate how many things on earth that are going on today? Right here, this one sentence. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Are people traveling everywhere, going to and fro, by plane, by train, by car? Yes. Knowledge increased? Yes. We've never had any time in history that we understand of. Now, there may have been with the Egyptians and the pyramids, some things we don't understand that they had. And one of those would be, how did they move those big stones? And how could they do all of that artwork down in the pyramids when it was absolutely pitch black unless they had some access to light other than torches?
The socket is represented by what appears to be a lotus flower with a stem that runs like a cable along the bottom of the device. Inside the bulb is a snake-like line winding its way out of the lotus flower socket. According to supporters of the hypothesis that this depicts an electrical light, such as Eric von Däniken, the snake represents the filament of the bulb. Von Däniken created a working model of the bulb in a laboratory which works, emitting an eerie, purplish light. He used the same measurements, including two metal beams that look like arms stretched into the big end of the bulb, and a wire connecting those beams with the socket at the other end.
And that's probably some kind of Tesla-type power. We don't know for sure, but here we are at the end time. Knowledge shall increase. He wanted to know what it was. So here's the answer. The angel told him, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed and sealed to the time of the end. Even though they are there, and you can prove different prophecies as they occur or have occurred, you can look at prophecies that have not yet occurred but will occur, and some are beginning to occur right now. Okay, time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Now, stop and think for just a minute. How will the wise understand? Is that the smart, intelligent ones in the world? No, because those who consider themselves wise, when they reject God and His Word, Romans the first chapter says, they became fools. So it's not the smart ones of the world. It is those that God has called, and those to whom God opens their minds because they love God, keep His commandments, and obey His word. Those are the ones who are wise and the ones who have faith in Jesus Christ. That's why today we have more atheists, more agnostic, more anti-God people than at any time in the history of the world. Why? Because none of the wicked shall understand.
Well, then who did create the heavens and the earth?
Why do you use the word who? You see, you immediately beg the question by using the word who.
Well, then how did it get created?
Well, by a very slow process.
Well, how did it start?
Nobody knows how it started. We know the kind of event that it must have been. We know the sort of event that must have happened for the origin of life.
And what was that?
It was the origin of the first self-replicating molecule.
Right, and how did that happen?
I told you, we don't know.
So you have no idea how it started?
No, nor has anybody.
Nor has anyone else. What do you think is the possibility that intelligent design might turn out to be the answer to some issues in genetics or in evolution?
It could come about in the following way. It could be that at some earlier time, somewhere in the universe, a civilization evolved by probably some kind of Darwinian means to a very, very high level of technology and designed a form of life that they seeded onto perhaps this planet. Now, that is a possibility and an intriguing possibility. Mm. And I suppose it's possible that you might find evidence for that if you look at the details of biochemistry, molecular biology. You might find a signature of some sort of designer.
Wait a second. Richard Dawkins thought intelligent design might be a legitimate pursuit?
And that designer could well be a higher intelligence from elsewhere in the universe.
The wise ones are those who belong to God, who keep his Sabbath, who keep his holy days, who live by his commandments. They're the ones who understand the word of God. See, just like Daniel said, you could go back to Daniel, the second chapter, and read what Daniel said. God gives the understanding. Now, let's come to Matthew 24, because this is a prophecy that contains many different things. Current things, things that were going to happen shortly, things that would happen repeatedly over and over and over and over again. But there would come a time when everything would be on the scene. So let's look at it. And let's ask the question, what had to be done to fulfill even the very first utterance of Jesus as he talked to his disciples? Think about it. A lot of people are astonished that the Twin Towers were taken down by terrorist attack, right? Now here's the temple in Jerusalem. Beautiful, all built up, and it was magnificent. So let's come to Matthew 24 and verse 1. And after going out, Jesus departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him to point out the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do you see all these things?" Now that was beautiful, because from the floor of the Kidron Valley up to the very top pinnacle of the temple was nearly 700 feet. So here they are on the Mount of Olives, which is across the Kidron Valley, looking across at the temple area. And Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there shall not be left here even a stone upon a stone that shall not be thrown down." Prophecy by Jesus. Now Jesus said he was what? The way, the truth, and the life. Did Jesus ever speak a lie? No. Did Jesus say that he came to fulfill the law and the prophets? Yes. Here's a prophecy that he gave, which was fulfilled 40 years later. Think about that. Not a stone left upon a stone. And even though Titus, the Roman general, after they had conquered Jerusalem, and he stood up on the wall of Fort Antonio and looked down on the temple area, he said, "Don't burn it." But what happened? They burned it. And all the gold melted. And all the soldiers and different ones were after the gold. So what did they do? They moved every single stone. And then the final thing was, in the rebellion, the Bar Kokhba rebellion in 135 AD, they plowed the area. There was nothing left of the temple. Does that make the Bible credible? Yes, indeed. Does that make Jesus' words credible? Yes, indeed. Let's go on. Verse 3, and as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him alone and said, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming?" That's his second coming. "And the completion of the age," that's the end of the rule of man, and the beginning of the rule of the kingdom of God, which goes back to where? Daniel, the second chapter. Daniel 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. Prophecies in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all of the 12 minor prophets, plus the prophecies of Jesus, all tied together. So you see, that's why I liken some of these major prophecies to skeleton or spine or bones, because all of the rest of the prophecies that fit in with it are like fulfilling and putting the flesh on the bones. Verse 4, then Jesus answered and said to them, "Be on guard, so that no one deceives you." Huh. Has that been fulfilled? Yes, with all the different brands of Christianity, right? But where is the truth? In the Bible. When you read the things that you know are easy to understand, and it requires your obedience, you must do it. Now, if you don't do it, you will never understand. Now, there's some people who come halfway, and they have part understanding. But if you're going on a long journey, if you go halfway, have you arrived? No. Likewise, unless it is the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth and the Word of God, do you think you're going to receive eternal life? So the first thing is, be on guard that no one deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, "I am the Christ," and deceive many. What is the greatest sign of deception? It contains two parts: Sunday keeping and holiday keeping. Those who keep those may have some understanding, but they don't understand the whole truth. Now, you think on that for a little bit, okay? Now, verse 6. Wars and rumors of wars. See that you do not let these things disturb you, for it's necessary that these things take place, but the end is not yet. That was a warning to them in that age and down through time. Because we will see there are two key things that have to happen in order for it to cut loose and be the actual end. Let's continue here. This is not it. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Do we have that today? Yes, and we've had it repeatedly, cycle after cycle after cycle after cycle, right? Be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in different places. Now, all these things are the beginning of sorrows. then they shall deliver you up to affliction. Has there been persecution for Christians, beginning with the Jews and the Romans? Yes. Has that continued down through all of the centuries? Yes. And they shall kill you, and you shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake? And are we not coming to another time when that is true on a worldwide basis?
And in 2017 to 2018, Christian persecution throughout the world was at an all-time high and just continues to rise. According to their data, 1 in 12 Christians around the world live in an area where high levels of persecution are taking place. There's more than 50 countries on that list that are currently actively persecuting Christians. And these Christian women that are living in these 50 countries are being, at a higher rate, sold into sex slavery or raped than ever before, specifically because they're Christians.
We're getting closer, aren't we? And then many shall be led into sin, shall betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. And we have more false ministers and prophets today than ever, ever, ever before. Here's what this brings about. And because lawlessness shall be multiplied in individual lives and family lives, in communities, in regions, in states, in cities, in nations, lawlessness shall be multiplied. You want to know why it's so terrible in the world today? Because of lawlessness. And what is lawlessness? Lawlessness is against the laws of God. A little sidebar. What laws of God do you think you don't have to keep? Now, somebody's going to say, well, what about all the sacrificial laws? Well, all the priesthood laws, sacrificial laws, have been superseded by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So don't bring that up. That's not an argument. How about the Ten Commandments? Just start with those. Okay? Go down through each one of them and ask yourself, am I doing what God has commanded? Especially when you get to the fourth commandment, which says, forget the Sabbath and keep Sunday. Oh, no, that's what Catholics and Protestants believe. No, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Do you do that? Okay. Then you go down through the rest of the Ten Commandments. Okay. Lawlessness shall be multiplied. The love of many shall grow cold. Isn't that true today? Callousness, killing, all of that. But the one endures to the end, that one shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be proclaimed in all the world for a witness to all nations. Then shall the end come. Now, let me tell you how it's being done today. There are many people who are preaching the gospel, either part of it or in various degrees. There are those who are preaching it in truth, and it's going out to the world, to all nations. And remember, the gospel is contained in the Bible. Now, for the Christian Biblical Church of God and our websites, our part is we have over 4 million distinct visitors to our website a year, this past year, 2017. That's why we have Church at Home and Truth of God. And that tells you everything you need to know on where you start and what you need to do. You start at home. That's where the original church began, at home. Yes, we have fellowship groups in different places and many parts of the world, but we also have thousands and thousands that meet in their homes with Church at Home and truthofgod.org, and they are hearing the gospel. Now then, God is sent to technology so that even those languages which do not have the written word will hear the word of God. I forget the name of the organization, but it's in New Mexico. And they record and translate into the languages that do not have written word the truth of God. And that goes to Africa, that goes to Asia, that goes to South America, goes to every place in the world. Now, that's one way of doing it. Another way is digital Bibles. There are over 2 billion digital Bibles. Now, how close can the Bible be to a person? In their cell phone or smartphone. Huh? God gave the technology to make that available. Now, whether they use it or not, that's up to them. Another way is they are putting together a system of Wi-Fi that will cover the whole earth. That then will be the means by which to proclaim the gospel to the whole world and to all nations. And even as Jesus said to the disciples in Acts, the first chapter, to the ends of the earth. Now, we'll pick it up here next time because there are a couple things that we will want to cover which tell us when everything comes together, we need to be alert. Now, we're getting closer and closer to that. Now, so you write in for this booklet. We will send you the booklet along with its companion booklet, God or No God, and along with another companion booklet, Geology, Catastrophism, and the Scriptures. These 3 booklets all have a CD so you can listen to it. In addition, if you don't know what to do, we'll send you the book, Lord, What Should I Do? And how should your life be? And how should you approach God? So we have all of these things at no cost to you. You can just email us. We'll send it to you. You can download it right from Church at Home. Many of the other booklets, you can have them right on your computer, right on your smartphone. Be sure and visit our other website, truthofgod.org, where we have hundreds of sermons and many things in great detail explaining about the Bible and the Word of God, and it will be absolutely amazing if you go there. So once again, this is Fred Colter saying thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, so long, everyone.